our Scripture before we receive. So it's that's that joy of remembering, and that's the title today. Joy of remembering as we're just looking at God's Word before we partake. Why is that so important? I want you to know what we're getting ready to do and the importance of it. The joy of remembering His sacrifice for us. Look, I'm glad that I didn't have a PowerPoint because I want the cross. I want you to be able to see the cross and remember what the cross stands for. It's not jewelry. It's not a cool tattoo. It is the instrument of death that Christ used to give His life for us, each and every one of us. And so I want us to think about that as we look at 1 Corinthians 11. You're very familiar with these verses. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll be looking at verses 23 through 30 before we partake. And I want us to think about this joy of remembering. First, it's the joy of understanding. Look what verses 23 through 26 says. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, take, eat, this is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me. In the same manner, He also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant of My blood. Do this as often as you drink it. Do it in remembrance of Me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, what do? You proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. Paul is instructing the church at Corinth on how to do the Lord's Supper, how to do the communion, the Eucharist, whatever you say, whatever your word for it, it's the Lord's Supper. How are we supposed to do it? He's giving them instructions. Why? They were having struggle with it. They had made it into a big party is what they had, and they weren't doing it correctly. And so He's trying to give them the joy of understanding. He said, I received from the Lord that which I'm delivering to you. It wasn't Paul's words. It was Jesus' word through Paul to this church, to us today. We still have the Word of God. I want you to know, I don't know how you feel about this. This is the holy, inspired, inerrant, infallible Word of God. It is not outdated. It is not full of lies. It is not full of those things. It is full of what God gave us through men, the inspired Word of God. Paul says, listen, he says right here, he said, I delivered it to you, and he's delivering it to us this morning through what? Through the Holy Spirit and through the Word of God that we can see. The church understood they were supposed to be doing communion, supposed to be doing the Lord's Supper, but they were doing it incorrectly, and so he was showing that. And he says, he's giving them some of the factors that's going into it. He said, I received it from Christ. That when did he learn about this thing? He said, on the same night in which Jesus was betrayed. What night was that? The Passover. We know that through the study of the Gospels at the Passover, where they had gathered together to remember their deliverance from Egypt, or where the death angel passed over because the blood of the Lamb was placed over the door. Don't miss that. It's not a coincidence that it was on that night, okay? But he's instituting this new thing, what is called the Lord's Supper. We weren't Jewish. We didn't come. We weren't delivered from Egypt, but we were all delivered from sin if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it was the blood of the Lamb that saved the world that was applied to our lives, not over the door. And so he institutes this as the Lord's Supper. And he's letting them know, look, this is how I want you to do it and how I want you to remember. The taking of communion is between the two comings of Christ. I say this a lot because I don't want you to ever get over it. We live in that day, folks. His first coming, which before I'm telling you, Christmas will be here for you. You know how many people can say amen. That's the way time is. We'll celebrate His coming to earth, the incarnation as the baby Jesus. He came, but He didn't stay that baby. He grew up to be a man, a perfect man. Gave His life on Calvary. And then when he said it's finished, and He dies, He's placed in the grave. Third day He resurrects, and He's gone to ascend to the Father. That's the first coming. Listen, He's coming again, though, the Scripture tells us, with the sound of the trumpet and the archangel. He'll come and He'll return. You live in the time between the two comings. That's where we're at. And so that makes it so special when we understand that the Lord's Supper's in that time frame. And we're part of that. This is a great time to be alive. You say, well, what about what's going on in our world? Guess what? Jesus is still in control. It doesn't take Him by surprise. And when I read the end of the book, He returns and He is victorious Satan and everything that's going on. And we are to live in those two times. You see, this is, and I know as Cindy was talking about the fifth and sixth graders, it's a tough time for kids to grow up. Let me tell you, we've got everything that we need to raise godly kids in an unbroken world, okay? In a broken world, what is that? We have the Word of God, we have the Holy Spirit of God, and it trumps anything else. Do you hear me today? Don't give in to the world's lies. Don't let them learn. You know what? They want to know what the creation's about. They want to know where everything comes from. The world and the universities will teach them that we evolved. How's that working? Because, you know, if we're evolving, we should be getting better. Just read your news and ask me how that's working, okay? They're trying to give answers to the questions that only come from God. And it's our responsibility. It's not to dread, but to look forward. Let's raise a godly generation in a broken world. What do you think? And Jesus says, hey, I give this institution, this Lord's Supper. I'm giving this meal to what? On the night that he was betrayed. Because we know that story. We know that Judas, his friend, betrayed him with a kiss. Sold out the Lord Jesus. Was that... did it just a chance happen? No, it was all a divine plan. Before the foundations of the world were laid, the Scripture says Christ was slain. Why did he do that for you and me? That we could have hope on this last Sunday in July. That we could find peace. That we could find our purpose. That we could find our plan in Christ right here, South Fort Baptist Church 2018. Real and relevant today. And that's what he was doing. He was instituting this thing that we could recall. Look, when he had given thanks, verse 24. Now I want you to think about it. The next day before the sun goes down, he'll be slain. Crucifixion. Now this was God, the God-man. He knew what was coming. He knew what he had agonized. He knew what he'd be giving up for you. That's why we see in the garden that Donnie mentioned in our Sunday school class today, the Garden of Gethsemane. We see that great anguish because he knew what was coming. Aren't you glad you don't know what's coming? How would we handle that as well? He knew, and he anguished it. And so on the night that he was going to be betrayed, on the night that he was going to, knew before the sun went down the next day, what he would suffer, what did he do? He gave thanks. Why did he give thanks? Because he knew there'd be a group of people here in South Fork celebrating what he has done and what he's done in our lives and what he did last week in some kids' lives. Come on. Don't tell me it's not real and relevant. Don't tell me it's outdated. It's real. And for those of us that have lived in the world, we know that it's real and been delivered from much sin. I'm so thankful for those testimonies of people that grew up in Christian homes and never did the things of the world. That's the true testimony, by the way. But I don't have one of those. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in the ways of the world. And so I know what the world has to offer, and I've tried it. And I'm so glad I can stand here today to tell anybody that's testing the world, it'll never bring you satisfaction. Why? I've been there. But there's one thing that can. His name's Jesus. His name's Jesus. And people will let you down, and things will fail you, but he never will. Remember our memory verse, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there. What does he do? He took that bread. What did he do? Took some bread, breaks it, and he says, these are the emblems of which we'll do in just a few moments ourselves. And he gave it to them. And why did he do these things? Why did he give them the cup? Why did he give them the bread that we'll take, a little wafer and juice? And sometimes people look at that and say, that's so crazy. That's kind of weird. And our kids will look at it and say, why do we do that? Hey, guess what? There's six new kids that can partake of that Lord's Supper today. Why? I told every one of them, hey, I said, you can ask them. I said, we're brothers and sisters now. Brothers and sisters take care of each other. Do they not? We're family. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And so that means, hey, they can partake of the Lord's Supper worthily. Praise God. We do it for recollection that we can understand and remember, for proclamation in verse 26 that we can proclaim it to the Lord's death till he comes. Until that he's been resurrected, that he's coming again, that he can save. And we do it for that anticipation. Why? He's coming. Do you hear me this morning? He's coming. We lose focus of that sometimes if we're not careful. We get caught up in this. I can't remember which one of the young girls was asking me about how God God's always been and always will be. That'll blow her mind. I said, that'll cook your noodles, what I like to say. Right? I was like, how do we don't understand that? I tried to tell her the time and the space that we live in that box that God created, and He's outside of that. Listen, there'll be a time when that box is lifted, and we'll be in eternity with Him forever. Woo! I don't know about you, but that gets me a little excited this morning. We'll be in eternity forever, so it's in anticipation that we do this. So lastly, we'll do the joy of examination, and then we'll partake. It says, therefore, look at verses 27 through 30, and please listen. This is how important that it is. This church, the Corinthian church, that was doing it unworthily, was doing it wrong, he wanted to make sure they got it right, and it's the same way for us today. What does it say? Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But then it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And he says, for this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. How serious is it? He says, you better examine yourself. What's he talking about? Anybody that's sitting here that's never received the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, you better not take of it. Why? Unworthily. Any here that has and proclaims his name that's living in sin and you don't confess that sin before him, you better not take of it. Why? Unworthily. Any of us that have ought in our heart against our brother, that has unforgiveness against other people, that you've not dealt with it, you better deal with it before you partake of it. Why? Because the consequences of that, he said, many are what? Weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Many have died because of partaking of this unworthily. That's why we don't tack it on just at the end of a service and do it flippantly. But we want ourselves to be examined. We want to take out for just a moment. Shut your eyes before the Lord. And as my deacons are coming forward to get ready to partake, before the Lord, I want you to think, is there anything in your life that you need to confess? Is there any, if any of you that's never received Christ, guess what? You don't have to walk an aisle. You can receive him right there in your seat. You can say, Lord Jesus, I know and I realize from the testimonies today, hearing about Jesus, that this is not in my life. And I need Christ. I'm asking you to forgive me. I receive him into my life as my Savior. And the Bible says, hey, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might. Shall. Is there known sin in your life? Confess it before the Lord right now. Examine yourself. Why? This is very, very, very important. And although it doesn't matter, you don't have to be a member. If you're a child of God, it's an open communion to you. I want you to partake and think about what God has done for you. So let me pray and we'll start. Father, my own heart, as a pastor, I stand before these people. God, I have sin in my own life that I have to deal with. And so, Lord, I have tried to deal with that the best I can, even to the point where I say, Lord, if there's something that I don't even realize, forgive me of that. Why? I'm a man, God, and I deal with sin the same way as anybody else. And so I pray that people understand that today. There's none of us above this examination. And so I pray, examine our hearts. Take anything away that doesn't please you. God, let us partake, remembering the joy of remembrance of what you've done for us on that cross, but also what we've seen you do last week and what we can see you do today. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you. had given thanks, he broke and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper. Everybody hold your cup up. Do this, he said. He said, on the night this cup is a new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink in remembrance of me. Let us pray. thank you for what Christ has done on the cross for us. I pray if somebody here maybe received you today, that they'll make that known. I thank you for the salvations that we saw last week and the great work that you did. I thank you for the work that you're doing today and in the future. I pray, God, be glorified and magnified through all things because we ask it in Jesus' name. And all God's children said, amen. Listen, remember, tonight, no services, so enjoy your afternoon. Don't get in such a hurry. Greet all your visitors. If you don't know somebody, make sure you go up and shake their hand. But I love you. Any way that we can help you, any way on your spiritual journey, we're all in this thing together. Thanks to the parents that brought the kids last week. We thoroughly enjoyed and look forward to pouring into them in the future. Lee, pray for us and we'll be dismissed.
Father, thank you.